Constitution, our form of government, is based on things from Scripture. A lot of what we find in our government came and was influenced by the Federalist Papers, and those Federalist Papers were influenced by the Scriptures themselves, and all of it trickled down. And the reason that America has been blessed is because it was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And it really doesn't matter who you are or where you are in the world, when you apply biblical principles to your life and the way that you live and the way that you do business and the way that you go through life, God's going to bless that. And the more our nation abandons our biblical foundation, the more blessings from God we will lose. And so it's important for us to remember, and especially the young folks, the young ones that are here, the students that are here tonight, that you understand. One of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, said this: "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever." The liberties that we have in America today are a gift from God, and the more our nation turns from God and doesn't recognize that they're a gift from God, listen, God's wrath will not sleep forever. He is long-suffering. He is merciful. He is slow to anger, but eventually God's time will be up for the nation of the United States of America, for our country, if we continue to abandon the Lord and His Word. And so if you're able, let's stand together. I'll read one verse to begin tonight, Psalm 33 and verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Do you see it? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help me tonight to preach Your Word exactly as You'd have me to. We come before You tonight thankful for the freedom that we have together, for the freedom of religion, for the freedom of speech, for all of the liberties You've given us in this country that we can go and do the work that You've put before us, Lord, that we can stand and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can establish churches free from government interference, Lord, that we can send out missionaries around the world and in other places in our own country, Lord, that we can do the work that You've called us to do with such great liberty. Lord, we know there are places around the world today that cannot, that your children cannot even legally have a Bible. They can't legally meet together to worship You. They can't legally preach the gospel. And Lord, we thank You that You've given us this liberty. But Father, I pray that You'd help us to use that liberty. Lord, that we would not squander the time You've given us, but we would redeem the time, for the days are evil. Lord, I know that our nation has turned its back on You as a whole, but Father, I thank You for the remnant who truly believe and are trying to live for You, trying to turn our nation back to You, and I pray that You bless for the remnant's sake. Lord, I pray that You would bless for Your own glory and Your own namesake. Our nation's been founded on Your Word, and we have sinned greatly in turning against You, Lord. Not just those out there in our nation who don't know You, but in Your churches, Lord, we have sinned against You. We have failed to do what You've called us to. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive our sin and that You would heal our land and that You would use us for Your glory in these last days. Please bless Your Word now, convict our hearts, and please help us. And we do thank You for the freedom You've given us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I want you to know tonight that our freedoms are a gift from God. We have our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the founding principle of our nation today. We have our Bill of Rights, where we are given the freedoms that we enjoy, and particularly the freedom to have religious services. And our Declaration of Independence says that we have freedom of religion. By the way, it does not say freedom from religion. Our government would do well to have Christians for our leaders. Our founding fathers understood that our nation ought to prefer Christians as their political leaders. Our founding fathers understood how important that was. I want you to know that the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech and the right to be free at all of those things come from the principles of the Word of God, and ultimately they come from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every blessing we have in our nation today, every freedom that you have in your life, it is a gift from God. And let me say this tonight, because we have a generation that's coming up that is not grateful for our country. Less than half of Americans today are thankful and express that they are extremely proud to be Americans. As a matter of fact, we have a generation coming up today that is ashamed of America because of the way that we're viewed in other countries in the world. Let me help you out tonight. You ought to thank God that you're an American tonight. We need to have some young people that begin to understand that the freedoms we have are a great blessing, and it is a rare thing to have the freedoms that we have in America. Countries around the world today, it's illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to preach the gospel. In other democratic countries today where you would say that they have freedoms, they still don't have the religious liberties that we have today, and they have not been blessed like the United States of America. Amen. People like to point out the different social things and programs that are available in other countries, their health care and all the different things that they have. But when you look a little bit deeper, you'll find out that the freedom we have in America has blessed us greater than any other country in the world today. Amen. I want you to get it tonight, friends, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, presidents throughout the ages have said very plainly that the United States of America is a Christian nation. Harry Truman said the United States is a Christian nation. Ronald Reagan declared openly, constantly, back in the 80s, that we are a Christian nation. Our former president, just a few years ago, Barack Obama, was the first president in the history of the United States to stand and declare publicly that the United States of America is no longer a Christian nation. You ought to be upset about that. And you really ought to be upset because he's right. Amen. Now, when our former president said that the United States of America was a Christian nation, they didn't mean that everyone in the country was a Christian and everyone in the nation was a believer and everyone in the nation was following Christ. What they meant was that this nation was founded on the principles of the Word of God. And when President Obama declared that we're not a Christian nation, he was right because we have abandoned the principles of the Word of God as a nation. And friends, we need to get back to God. Now, some of you are a little bit cynical. Some of you are a little bit cantankerous. The older you get, the more cynical you get, and you think America's too far gone. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the United States of America is not too far gone unless the gospel has lost its power. The gospel of Jesus Christ still has power to save men, and if men can be saved, our nation can be saved. Amen. Some of you have given up hope, and you just kind of want to get together with our four and no more and kind of hunker down and wait till Jesus comes, and I'm here to tell you today that we need to get busy today more than ever to work, for the night is coming. We need to work for the gospel's sake. We need to reach others for the gospel's sake. And Jesus is still in the business of saving people. He's still in the business of saving families. And that's what our country's made of. Amen. It's made of states, which are made of cities and communities. And those cities and communities are made of families. And those families are made of individuals. And if Jesus Christ can save the individual, he can save the family. He can save the town and the city and the state and the whole country. I'm here to tell you tonight there's hope for our country, but we're going to have to understand tonight that our freedom is a gift from God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." He's not just given us the liberty that we have as a nation, our political and cultural and social freedoms, but he is the one who gives us freedom and liberty from the power of sin and death. I thank God that I was born in America, that I was born with freedoms and born with rights that people around this country would do anything to have. We have a problem with illegal immigration in our country today. Why? Because people want to come here. They want to have and enjoy the benefits of the freedom that you and I take for granted. They're doing anything they can, risking their life, risking their limb, risking everything they have to come to the United States of America. There's a reason for that. And we're full of a bunch of spoiled brats that think they would be better off somewhere else, and they want to make America like some other country. I'm here to tell you tonight that He not only gives us the freedom that we have as a country, but He gives us the greatest freedom of all, the freedom from sin and death. God's always been about the business of liberty. In Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, Jesus is in the synagogue, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And the Lord closed the book, and he stood up and he said, "Today is this word, this prophecy fulfilled in your ears." Jesus Christ was preaching from Isaiah. Isaiah preached that there was liberty in God, that he was the God that would set the prisoner free. Jesus came and he preached that today this word, this prophecy is fulfilled in your ears, because Jesus came to give liberty, to give freedom. And that freedom is only found where the Spirit of God is. Romans chapter 8 teaches us plainly that when you're born again, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if the Spirit of God is in you, you have life everlasting. Amen. And if the Spirit of God is not in you, you are yet dead in your trespasses and sins. A lot of people say they're saved, and you ask them about it. They say, well, they asked Jesus into their heart, and I get what they're saying, and that's really the question. We ought to understand biblically tonight, it's not that Jesus lives inside of you, but His Spirit does. And that happens when you're born again. Well, how do you get born again? Well, Jesus said you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So how are we born again? Well, we have to repent of our sin and unbelief. And we have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. A young lady from Creta's work was mentioned that said, "I know if I died, I'd go to hell. I've done a lot of bad things." Well, here's the reality. We've all done a lot of bad things. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all, when given justice, would spend eternity in the lake of fire were it not for the mercy and grace of God. But He loved us so much, He died for us and rose again, and we can have eternal life, freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from hell, if we trust in Christ alone. Not only do we need to know tonight that our freedom is a gift from God, but we should glorify God for that freedom every day. I'm so glad that we have the 4th of July. I'm glad that we have a time set aside to remember what God has done for us. Our second president of the United States, our first vice president, John Adams, said July 4th ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Too many times our holidays in America today have become something that they weren't intended to be. July 4th ought to be a time of solemn devotion and acts of devotion to God. It ought to be a time to thank God. It ought to be a time to sing praise to God. It ought to be a time to give thanks to God. For too many people, it's an opportunity to go to the lake and drink a bunch of alcohol and act like an idiot. Somebody say amen. Amen. For too many people, the 4th of July is just an excuse to get drunk and blow stuff up. And I'm here to tell you tonight that it's more than that. And for many of you in the church, you would never dream of getting drunk, but you're happy to blow things up. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a wrong thing. And I'm not saying it's wrong to grill some burgers and some brats and to have a good time with your family and to do some fireworks and go to the fireworks shows and all of those good things that we do. But don't forget about God. When you get together with your family tonight, tomorrow, or whenever you do, make sure that you get together and you bow your heads before the God of heaven and you give him thanks for the freedom we have as a nation. And more importantly, that you give him thanks for the freedom he gives over sin and death. We ought to praise him. Leviticus 25 and verse 10 gives us the text that's on the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell has this inscription on it from Leviticus 25 and 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. You see, those that put together that Liberty Bell, they understood that our freedom comes from the Word of God. And they understood that liberty was a principle of the Word of God. And they understood that liberty was more than just the freedom from British rule. They understood that it was more than just freedom from taxation without representation. They understood that liberty ultimately came from God. And they wanted His Word to be seen. In Washington, D.C., how many of you ever been to D.C.? See your hands. Several of you have. How many of you know what the Washington Monument is, even if you haven't been there? All right. It's not the tallest monument in our country. The tallest monument is actually the Gateway Arch, but the Washington Monument is 550 feet tall. It's the tallest structure in Washington, D.C. On the eastern side of that structure, the tallest thing there, so when the sun rises every morning, it's the first thing that catches the rays of the sun. It's the first thing that's illuminated by the sun rising every day. And on that eastern side is the Latin phrase, Laus Deo, which is Latin for praise be to God. When I was in high school, we got to go there, and they were remodeling the monument, and you couldn't go in it, and they were doing some work, and we just got to look at it from outside. But I read sometime later that when they made the plaques and told the history and all of the things about it, they left that off of the history of the Washington Monument. And so people were fighting to get it put back in because the people who did the remodel and the people who were in charge at that time didn't want it to say God in any of the documentation. You see where we've come as a nation? I'm here to tell you tonight that we ought to remember that our freedom comes from God and we ought to proclaim liberty to the glory of God. We ought to praise Him. Glory to God. Praise be to God for the freedom we have as a nation. We ought to passionately pursue God. We ought to give thanks and we ought to get some surety. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks about liberty. And he's not talking about the liberty we have, we're talking about as a nation, but he's talking about the liberty that we have in Christ over sin. And he says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want you to know tonight that you ought to give thanks to God that you're set free, that you have liberty, but you ought to get sure about your liberty. He says, stand fast. In other words, stand firm and don't be immovable. Some of you might be saved and you're not sure if you're saved or not. Some of you are saved, but you don't live like you're saved. Some of us need to get some things settled in our hearts and mind. I've been born again by Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get it settled in my heart and mind. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Some of you, it's time to stop waffling around. It's time to stop being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's time to get steadfast, to get sure, to know Christ and to know that you know Christ. To have liberty in Christ and to know that you have liberty in Christ. We ought to passionately pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Too many people are set free from their sin only to throw themselves back into that sin. And we need to get settled in our salvation, and we need to get settled in the direction that we're going to go and stopped going back to our old life, to our old ways, to our old sin. Sin has no power over the believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Except what power you give it. Sin has no power over you unless you let it have power over you. Sin has no power over unless you go back into that yoke of bondage. He's given us the picture here of a slave who was in bondage, a slave who was burdened down, a slave who was chained down and could only do what his taskmaster made him do. And he said, you've been set free from that. Why would you go back? Can you imagine? And yet we go back to our sin regularly. Down in verse 13 there in Galatians 5. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We need to give thanks, we need to get sure, and we need to get to work. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You got to be careful sometime when you're listening to preachers or you're reading books or whatever it might be. A lot of people will talk about grace in churches today. And when they talk about grace, I don't think that their understanding is biblical, because what they want to do is sin, and they want to use grace as an excuse to sin. They want to do what they want to do and fulfill the lust of the flesh, and they say, well, I've got grace. Let me help you out tonight. Grace is no excuse to sin. Use the liberty God has given you not as an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. We need to get busy serving the Lord, and we serve God by serving others. We have more opportunity to do good in the world in the United States of America today than anywhere else in the world today. We have more resources, more freedom, more wealth than anybody in the world, and we have more opportunity to do good in the name of Christ than anybody else. Instead of taking our liberty to consume it of our own lust and to consume it upon our own desires, we need to take the liberty and the resources God has given us and use it for His glory, for the good of others. We have a nation that was founded on the principles of the Word of God. George Washington, our father of this country, he said it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington understood that where there was no way that the world could be governed properly without God and the Bible. Our founding fathers understood these truths. John Adams said the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. He's saying the principles that we get from the Bible are as eternal and immutable as God Himself. And these are the principles on which our country was founded. Now listen, you can believe the modern textbooks if you want to. You can believe your college professors when you get there if you want to. But I'm here to tell you that out of their own mouths, our founding fathers said, the principles we built this nation on are the principles of the Word of God. John Adams was there. He ought to know. George Washington was there. He ought to know. John Adams' wife, Abigail, said, a patriot without religion, in my estimation, is a great paradox, as a great paradox as an honest man without the fear of God. Is it possible that he whom no moral obligations bind can have any real goodwill towards men? Can he be a patriot who by an openly vicious conduct is undermining the very bonds of society? The scriptures tell us righteousness exalteth a nation. Friends, these are the kinds of men and women who were at the center of the founding of our nation. Men and women who believed the Word of God and strove to live by the Word of God. Benjamin Franklin said, whosoever shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity will change the face of the world. Benjamin Franklin said, if you bring the principles of the Bible into the public sphere, you'll change the world. John Quincy Adams was the son of John Adams. He was a diplomat, minister, ambassador, treaty negotiator, United States senator, U.S. representative, and the sixth president of the United States of America. John Quincy Adams said, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. That's why our nation is great. Let me give you one more shocking thing. It didn't die with those early Americans. For decade after decade after decade, the leaders of this nation looked to the Word of God and understood our founding on the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in 1854, the United States Congress said this, "The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in our schools." As a matter of fact, federal money was used to print Bibles for schools. See, it didn't die in the 1700s. It continued on. I want you to think about our Supreme Court today. It's a far cry from where it was in 1892. In 1892, the Supreme Court said this, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. In this sense and to this extent, our civilizations and our institutions are emphatically Christian." Our freedoms are a gift from God. And we should glorify God for that freedom every day. We ought to praise Him. We ought to passionately pursue Him. We ought to live to please Him and not ourselves. Use the liberty He's given us for His glory. And we ought to pray for our country. The Supreme Court is shaken up right now. Justice Kennedy is resigning and President Trump's going to get to appoint somebody. And a lot of people in our country are very nervous that he's going to appoint somebody who would overturn Roe v. Wade. I saw a protester the other day on the news that had a sign that said, "Keep abortion safe and legal." And I thought, how is abortion safe for the child? And what is wrong with the country that would make it legal to take the life of the most innocent among us, an unborn child? Friends, you ought to pray for our Supreme Court. We had a Supreme Court in 1892 that said that we need to build our principles of our nation. They can't be taken away from the Redeemer of mankind. They were talking about Jesus. And did you know that we could have a Supreme Court today in 2018, 2019, in the years to come, we could have leaders and judicial people who would turn back to God, who could write down these very same truths today. If it could be true 100 years ago, it could be true again today. Friend, don't give up on America. Pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our president and our vice president. Pray for our senators and our representatives. Pray for those Supreme Court justices and the justices in all of the court systems coming down. Pray for our state. The state of Oklahoma's lost its mind. I don't know what kind of people would look at the states around us and see what legalized marijuana has done for them and say, hey, we want some of that here too. It's crazy. It's stupid. And you can say, well, it's just medical. Well, I'm telling you, that's the way they started in all those other states too. And you go ahead and mark it down. Unless our state turns back to God, everybody around here is going to be able to smoke pot recreationally. You got to pray for our state. Only God can change people's hearts. Amen. We're going to be getting a new governor. You got to pray for God to raise up a godly man to lead our state. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you tonight that we have great freedoms in our nation because of God. And we ought to look to God for those freedoms to continue. And we ought to use the liberty we've been given for His glory. Friends, I talked to you just a little bit Sunday, and Lord willing, I'll talk to you a little bit more about our time on this coming Sunday. But we squander our freedom. Squander it. We have more opportunity to reach the world with the gospel than any place in the world, and we're wasting our time. We're wasting the freedom that God has given us. This evening, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I'd like our musicians to come, please. And while they're coming, would you stand with me? Most of you know who John Hancock is, famous for his signature on the Declaration of Independence. John Hancock said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our founding fathers understood how vital it is. Some of you have been raised up to believe that you ought to keep government, politics, and all those things separate from the Bible. Why don't I help you out? Our government and politicians need as much Bible as they can get. The government does not need to tell the church what to do and how to do it. That's why we have protections, the freedom of religion. But we don't need a government that's free from the Bible. You need to understand tonight. Some of you get all upset and a little in a tizzy when I start talking politics. I want to help you out tonight. Our nation was founded on the principles of the Word of God. Our government was built on this book, and we need to get back to that. Yes, I'm under God. I live under His heavens. The nations are under His authority. My destiny is under His direction. My past under His grace. My future is under His control. My cares are under His wing. And my sin is under His blood. This is a nation under God. I am a man under God. And we need to pray tonight for the God's will to be done in our lives as we sing. What number? Number 514. Maybe you want to come tonight and pray for our country. Maybe you need to come and pray for yourself. A decision you need to make for Christ. If you've never been set free from sin, you can trust Jesus tonight. If He's convicting your heart, you come right now.